California. Here we are again. Welcome to Inside Petaluma. I'm your host, Cindy Thomas, and co-hosting with me is Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're on now. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Oh, happy Friday, everybody.
It is a happy Friday.
Yeah.
It's already been an exciting day.
It's gone so fast, I can't believe this week. It's just crazy.
I know. So, we got a good topic for today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
There's a bit of controversy around it, I'd say.
Yeah, did you guys see the front page of the Argus this week?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I cared about it, yes, I did.
You know, I saw it laying on the counter at home, and I have to say I haven't read the article yet, which may be to the advantage of our guests. And our guest today happens to be Adrian Saslow, who is representing No Gas Here, which is a grassroots organization formed by Adrian and a group of concerned Eastside neighbors. Welcome, Adrian.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here this morning.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for the last minute notice. You were great. So appreciated.
Yes. Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been here in Petaluma?
I've been in Petaluma for 5 years in the same house, conveniently on the corner across the street from the proposed site. I've been in Sonoma County since 2002. I moved up for Sonoma State University and just absolutely fell in love with Sonoma County. There's no way I'm moving back to Orange County. I just don't belong there.
Yeah.
And I work as an artist, and now I have 2 kids, a 1-year-old little boy and a 3.5-year-old little girl. And fantastic in-laws who are watching them at the last minute this morning.
Nice.
What kind of art do you do, just out of curiosity?
We joke when people ask that question. I glue bits to things, and I paint anything that holds still long enough. So I like to do a lot of exterior design, so mixed masonry walkways or painting interesting patio furniture.
Just for my own personal safety, how long is too long or long enough to be painted, you know, if I'm wasting anything.
Oh, you're holding still?
Because I don't want you to paint me.
I think you're safe. I think you're safe for an hour. I'd have to look at you for at least a week before I figured out what to do.
It'd be tough to explain to my wife.
Yeah.
I've seen her art and masonry work, and it's really beautiful and something that, you know, I'd certainly like to incorporate in my yard.
Why, thank you.
Nice. That's I'll have to take a look. Do you have a website?
I do, madamsaslowscurio.com, though it hasn't been updated for a while since I've been working on nogashere.org for the past 2 months. I've been up to my eyeballs in it, so.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you're going to be working for a long time on that subject.
You know, I think so. I have a feeling that at Monday night city council meeting, it's not just going to be a quick yes or no one way or another, and if it's approved, it's still not going to be done for me. I won't be done until this is thoroughly over. I just can't. I can't stop because my family's health and well-being and quality of life is on the line here.
Yeah. How did you go about forming your group?
Well, there was a number of us that spoke at the Planning Commission meetings, both of them, and when that was voted approved 4-3 by the Planning Commission, a bunch of us got together via Nextdoor and via Facebook and decided to meet at Pete's Coffee on a Sunday because Joanne McEachin found out you can file an appeal, which is not something that happens very often in this city. It's been kind of a baffling process of, like, how to do it. A bunch of people signed, 25 people could get together that Sunday, and we all chipped in our $20 to pay the fee to file an appeal. And since then, a lot of us have been on the ground working, trying to stop this gas station from going in.
So this is truly a grassroots movement.
Absolutely. Just coming together. It's one, Joanne said she never thought she'd be a political activist, but here she is. And she's really bummed she's got to be at work today, or otherwise she'd be here in a heartbeat.
So are you an actual political action committee? Do you have a PAC?
We have filed for a PAC. Okay. Of course, the speed of government, I haven't heard back from that. And because of what I see is going to be the drawn-out nature of this, I'm going to be filing for a nonprofit status, 501c3, I believe it is, because that's really what we are. We're not about any candidates. We're not about getting somebody elected one way or another. We just are about not having gas stations next to schools.
Okay, and so are you raising funds? How much do you have funds?
We have had amazing success with raising funds via private donations and our GoFundMe and just people. When we've been standing outside of Safeway collecting signatures for our petitions, people hand us $20. It's been really amazing. So the people who can't help go pass out flyers still want to contribute and are, so to speak, invested in this.
That's kind of ironic that you're standing out in front of Safeway.
We've had amazing response, and we are legally allowed to be there. We checked into all that.
Uh-huh.
We try to be really polite and courteous, and we get a ton of people who don't even know about it. They have more signage in their store about basically don't feed the animals, don't sign our petition or give us money, than they have about the gas station going in. So a lot of Safeway shoppers don't even know that it's supposed to be happening. Or people think that it wasn't happening anymore because Albertsons bought Safeway a few years ago, and they just thought it was dead. People aren't aware that this is happening, and they're not happy about it. You can stand there, and you can point to the site, and you can look across the street and see the preschool and McDowell Elementary School and a lot of softball fields, Little League fields, and the McDowell Playground, the park.
Have you gotten any pushback from any of the Safeway employees? Or
actually, I was complimented by one of the guys collecting carts on how polite and courteous we are. We try to stay out of their way,
good,
let them do their job.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. So Janice pointed out to me there was a staff report available from the city of Petaluma. I have not read it, but Janice, you've read it?
I reviewed most of the staff report. And, you know, being a past city council member, it's really difficult when you have a staff that's working in one direction. And the staff report definitely puts the city in legal jeopardy. And for me, it's more of the process, how we got to this process, and how we can make the process more open instead of all of a sudden just, as a community activist myself, I mean, I'm just going to be really clear. I'm going to disclose. I've met with Adrian. I've met with the Safeway group, and I'm in conversation with them. The reason that I wanted to meet Adrian is because I realized that there's mitigation fees that come with these projects, and there's mitigation that really needs to be done. And so often with a project, you look at the project itself, and you're not looking around the bigger picture of the impacts for the neighborhood. And if, depending on what happens with this project, I really encourage the group to make sure that the mitigation money for the project, which is about $400,000, that most of that money, minus city expenses, needs to go to the neighborhood for improvements. Before the Safeway, the No on Safeway, appeared, I was actually working on ADA issues, and so I was down and I was familiar with this area. And there are just a lot of problems that the city has not addressed over the years, because every bit of mitigation money for every project seems to be going into one pot, and that's the Rainier pot. So the streets in front of your home, the poles in the streets, so you can't walk a child with a stroller, somebody in a wheelchair, because the streets are blocked because of poles in the middle of the road.
I could not agree more. Yeah. As somebody who's been going door to door with my baby in a stroller and my little girl in tow, it's really precarious getting around some of those things. I actually got a smaller stroller to try to make this easier. Mm. And it's so hard, and I know those blinky crosswalks, which I would love to go in at McNeil and at Maria crossing McDowell, those are really expensive. Those seem exorbitantly expensive, but I want those in there, and the city just doesn't have money for it right now.
But that's where mitigation money comes in, and you know, just look, we won't debate the gas station or not. I just want to talk about mitigation fees.
and why the city really should be rethinking how they use their fees.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you want to put it into one project, and yet people can't walk safely on the streets, gas station or no gas station, that is wrong. And that's why today we'll probably talk about smart, ADA, and just bicycle and pedestrian safety, mm-hmm. and just circulation, traffic circulation in our community.
Okay.
And that's kind of, we'll talk about that later, but I really enjoyed walking with Adrian. Mm-hmm. What I really learned was going through the shopping center with Adrian and my friend Carol, who's in a wheelchair, the shopping center itself has mobility problems. And yet Planet Fitness and the party store was approved where the old Safeway was, so you have all this development going on. Why weren't those mitigated at the time?
Mm-hmm.
So it really goes back to the city allowing what the M group, which basically writes all the staff reports. So mm-hmm. if they are not city employees, they're yeah. contract employees. What the M group wants to do is make sure projects move forward because that's how they get paid. If a project doesn't go forward, you don't have the mitigation fees, the city doesn't get paid. And that's where I would like to see a lot of future changes happen. And despite the Safeway gas station, I want to work with Adrian to make sure that that happens, and like I'm working with my friend Carol, because we have more in common than we think.
And Janice, you've actually done this in the past with some projects. You've fought pretty hard for some mitigation.
And I was a single person, and if I had had a group actually just looking at the bigger picture instead of the political aspect, which was let's blame her why
sure.
this isn't happening,
sure.
you would get good mitigation. So I really respect the fact that you have a group behind you, and you have to know really what you want. This is just the beginning of, I think, your political career.
I'm sorry to say I agree with you. We were saying earlier, once you know how the sausage is made, there's no going back. So I've got my foot in it good. But I'm so excited that I do have a great group of people working with me on this and just getting to know a lot of my neighbors, a lot of people in the community. We've got the PTA liaison for McDowell Elementary School with us. And just this morning, I had four different people come by to pick up door hangers to take door to door and T-shirts for them to wear to the Petaluma River cleanup with their kids or students at McDowell, because they all feel passionately about this too, even if they're not as fortunate as me to be able to work from home and go to a radio show at the drop of a hat.
Could we maybe just step back a little bit and get the sort of 100-foot view or 1,000-foot view of this, kind of outline your top concerns about the project? Because a lot of people that are listening may not be aware of the pros and cons. They may just think, oh, cheap gas is great. Why would anyone oppose this?
So maybe that's you could absolutely, Jason. And cheap gas is the big pro for it. People want cheap gas, and I understand that incomes are tight, housing's expensive, and we don't always get to live near our jobs. So I'm in favor of cheap gas. But I'm not in favor of a 16-pump gas station 60 feet from a preschool and a bunch of other schools at that site. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, recommended back in, I believe it was 1989, that gas stations be 1,000 feet from those kind of sites. And I asked a friend who works at the EPA, why isn't this a law? Because you've got places like San Francisco mm-hmm. where you just wouldn't be able to build a new school because there's the real estate is so impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So if they made it a law, it would really hurt some communities where there's no other option. But things like that should have been taken into consideration in Petaluma. So on the site across the street from where they want to put in the gas station, we've got the Four Seas Preschool.
Mm.
We've got McDowell Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
We've got NBCC, North Bay Children's Center, I believe that one is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an adult school where a lot of adults coming to learn English as a second language also bring their children in the evenings while they're learning skills. Some you've got to take your kids with you sometimes.
Yep.
And there's the Little League fields that I mentioned earlier and McDowell Park. And looking at Safeway's various studies that they've done, I think they like to say that they've done 14 different studies on traffic and environment. There's a lot of bias and omissions that I have seen and that others in my group who've looked at it more closely have seen.
Yeah, because what I was noticing when you read the staff report is it starts with some pretty serious concerns. And then at the end of it, there's all these mitigations that are going to bring these down to less than significant levels. And I guess that's kind of the crux of the issue.
Well, Safeway says that they don't expect to put out more than 8.5 million gallons per year, but their permit is applied for something like 25.7 million gallons per year. Now, that's a lot more expensive to apply for a permit of that size. If you thought you were only going to do 8.5 million gallons per year, you'd apply for a 10 million gallon per year permit, not something like three times the size. So I think Safeway has ideas about being able to do more in the future and sell more gas. And our that neighborhood in particular, with the McDowell East Washington intersection and all the traffic in that area, is not going to be able to support that many more cars. You're going to have people getting off the freeway to come and get gas right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have people coming from the west side specifically there to get gas when they not in the past would have gone through that intersection. And it's going to impact the people who live in that neighborhood and all those new apartments that were put in. But one of the things that just occurred to us the other day was the emergency room is on that side of town and how hard it's going to be for people on the west side to get to the emergency room in a timely manner.
I'd like to step in on that one.
Yes, please.
For 25 years, people have said we can't get to the hospital and people are dying because we can't get to the hospital. This is why we have paramedics. There are means to get to the hospital, and I understand what people are saying. We need to build an $85 million Rainier to get people to the hospital. And it's just kind of one of those arguments that it's a political argument, and now it's being used to say that you're not going to be able to get to the hospital. Ambulances have really saved lives. What's the equipment?
Defibrillators.
It's called something. Yeah, the defibrillators have really made a difference. And I know that there are a lot of defibrillators in businesses. And those are the type of things, the scaring. I like to work on the issue. And the issue is really the gas station, close to the school, close to the neighborhood. How do you walk in your neighborhood? But to put fear in people that you're not going to get to the hospital, I think is wrong, because this has been happening in this town for 25 years. We have candidates saying the same thing, and that is just not really a reality.
Yeah, I actually heard a candidate who's based on the east side who was talking all about how, the west side-based council members never think about the east side, and he mentioned how important the east side is, and then he talked about how important Rainier is so that people on the east side could get to the hospital. And I was like, wait a minute, I think you're confused.
There's the same person that put a face post on my face, on my Facebook about that.
But to Adrian's point, I think, and this is mentioned in the staff report, it will induce more trips. It will attract more people to drive there. We've seen it already happen with Deer Creek. We've seen it with the Regency development. The more you develop in these areas, the more traffic you will get. And we were talking about this earlier. Who knows what will happen with the other gas stations? I know we've got a bunch that are empty lots now that, no one wants to deal with because of the expense in cleaning them up. The Superfund money hasn't been arriving. So we have vacant lots that can't be developed because they're toxic. So that's an issue, too. But I think the traffic concern is legitimate. I agree with you about the fear-mongering thing. At the same time, it is true that when you induce more traffic, it can be a little more challenging if you're going by private car. A lot of people can't afford ambulance trips to get to the hospital. I've experienced that myself. My son had an injury. We had to get cross town to get to the hospital. It wasn't at the level where I wanted to call an ambulance, but it was emergency. He needed like 14 stitches or something like that in his chin, and it was tough getting across town. Traffic is a concern. So I agree with you about not overinflating that, but these are real consequences that we have to face. The hospital is on the east side. There's a lot of people on the west side that need to get there. When we induce more traffic, it does make it a little bit more difficult. Some of the other issues of concern, you've mentioned the proximity to the schools. We've talked about the traffic. You have some other bullets you want to get through?
For us, those are the two big ones. It's the kids being exposed to that, both outside at their playgrounds and then inside when you've got recirculating air. That can hold a lot more toxins than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
And traffic with people crossing the street. As I said, I'd love for there to be those little blinky lights for when kids are crossing the street to school, especially now that McDowell Elementary School has all kindergarten through sixth grade. That's a more recent development. So when you've got fifth and sixth graders, you're going to have more kids being able to ride their bike or walk to school themselves. And that they might not be seen crossing the street.
So
I think there needs to be those dividers also, you know, like they have on Washington Street. You know, because I saw a mom and a child walking today, and it was you feel safer. It's still there's still a sense, you know, you shouldn't think that something's there and you're completely safe, but it is definitely safer than what it is right now.
There was one thing we were talking about before we started the show about the future and what and where things are headed. And as we know, we have a global warming. You know, Solutions Act that was put through in California was sort of the model for the U.S. right now on that. And there's definitely a trend towards EVs. And, in fact, we're talking about in 2040 potentially phasing out gas cars in California. Just wondered what your thoughts are on, you know, that being also a concern of what happens in the future when, you know, should we have such a thing like this when it's kind of the opposite direction of where we need to be going?
There was a great political cartoon in the Argus Courier probably 2 months ago.
I saw that.
Saying,
that was great.
You know, maybe Petaluma wasn't the best place for a gas station, and it's got everybody with their electric vehicles charging and nobody actually getting gas.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, my mom drove her 87 Vanagon forever. And so gas cars aren't going to go away even if we move to only making and selling electric vehicles. People are going to hang on to their classics or just drive their car until it dies, as I plan on doing. But I semi-jokingly say I want Safeway to have to put in a deposit should this gas station go in to take out that gas station when it's done, because I don't need the blight of an empty gas station across the street.
This is what few people understand when they're in, you know, favoring the approval of projects is, you know, developers will develop things, and their success or failure is going to have an impact on the public. And ultimately, sometimes the public ends up picking up the expense. And that is a concern. I think it's a good point. It's like, wait a minute, down the road, if this goes away, are we going to be stuck with the bill to make this safe to redevelop for some other use? Well, if we want to put a school there, expand the school, and we have all these toxins that we now have to remove. So that's a legitimate concern.
And some people say, but what about this empty building that's there now? It attracts transients, and it's just an ugly building sitting there. Won't it be great when that's torn down? Well, one of the issues with that building, because of its age, it's full of asbestos.
Ooh.
And so that's a really expensive problem to deal with. And, you know, for me personally, I would have loved to still have a restaurant and an optometrist and travel agent and all that kind of stuff there. But those businesses were kicked out pretty quickly when the appeal went, or excuse me, when the application went in by Safeway just after I moved in on that corner 5 years ago. I know the former owner of Curves is pretty upset about the fact that she was kicked out and then it sat vacant for 5 years.
Blight.
Yep.
Well, Safeway has lots of money.
Well, this is actually not, this is not Safeway that owns that, and some of those business owners were actually put someplace else in the center. So, and there were some other underlying problems with some of the tenants that it's not for me to get into. But there's always other sides of the stories. But I kind of want to bring up one thing when we're talking about always having to come to the east side for grocery shopping. The west side should really have grocery stores. You have basically one grocery store.
Yeah, Petaluma Market. Which isn't as big as a Safeway or a Raley's.
Right.
It's a fantastic community market with beautiful produce and a great hot food section.
Right, but it's still, it's not obviously serving the entire community over
There's two Lucky's on the west side.
I consider Lucky's on Lakeville to be an east side store. I
beg to differ. I think we have too many grocery stores. I mean, we've got the Smart and Final now. We've got Target as the grocery store. I mean, at a certain point, the market's not going to be able to sustain all these grocery stores. And then what's going to happen with the empty buildings? I don't think that's a problem with shortage of grocery stores. I will agree with you, though. I go to Trader Joe's. That's on the east side. I do go to the Petaluma Market for small things when I need them, and it's quick. But generally, I do my shopping on the east side as well. So you're correct. Sometimes I go to Lucky's.
Right. And, you know, the quote, old Lucky's, you know, that is a long-term lease. And so they don't have the incentive to actually improve that store. So, you know, more people will shop there.
You're talking about the one on Petaluma Boulevard North?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been into that Lucky's once or twice when I'm over at my in-law's house and need to run and grab some milk or something. And
But if it was improved, I mean, I'd love to see an Oliver's Market there. I tried to get Oliver's and couldn't, and I don't particularly care for Smart and Final, but it's there.
I've never been in one.
We also do have to recognize, though, that there are people that also live on the west side that can't afford to go to something like an Oliver's. Oliver's is a great market, but Lucky's...
Or Petaluma Market.
Exactly, but Lucky's does allow people of more modest means to shop locally, and particularly in that area where it's situated, you have lower cost.
But you can still improve the existing shopping
center. Oh, I totally agree with you.
I'm just saying what I would like. If I had my way. But a non-paid plug, I got to say I love going to Grocery Outlet.
Yep.
That's right there. Yeah. You never know what you're going to find.
I forgot that. We go there.
I know. You forget
sometimes.
About it. You forget that Grocery Outlet's there. I forget that Sprouts is in by Target.
Sprouts is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I love going to Lola's. Yeah. You want some cheap protein?
I love Lola's.
You want a burrito?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Lola's.
Exactly.
I love Lola's.
I'm not being paid to say this. Now that we're talking about...
I have to go there, too. Now it's limes and...
We're talking about driving all over town. That brings up the...
The Orange Creek Trail can take you right over to Lola's pretty easily.
That's true.
but that brings us to the subject of traffic.
Yes.
And this... gas station.
Yeah.
Jason and I were talking before the show a little bit about how it's going to just create a traffic nightmare, and why Jason thinks we don't have a traffic nightmare right now is a little...
No, I didn't say we don't. I just said it's going to get worse.
I know, as a mom with two small kids, I only go to one store at a time. I don't get to go to Target for this and Trader Joe's for that and stop into Safeway, which I used to shop at a lot. I used to get groceries delivered from Safeway. I'd be up nursing in the middle of the night and order my groceries on the app. It was great, but not anymore because they're not good neighbors.
I mean, Cindy, just as a reminder, I mean, this was a while back, but when I was running for council, I favored the environmentally superior alternative to the Deer Creek project, which would have included a skilled nursing center. We would have still had a Freedman's. There was discussions about possibility of housing there. And that would address actual needs that we have. We don't have a shortage of retail right now, but we will have and already have a shortage of skilled nursing centers. I mean, we have an aging population. That's only going to continue. That option for that project would have induced far less traffic, and that was outlined in the EIR. So yes, we approved that, unfortunately, without that plan. We went with pretty much the one the developer wanted, and as a result, traffic has certainly increased, as we knew it would when that project was approved.
Just to talk about that a little bit further, because really when that project was being proposed, the problem is the developer decides what they want, and then the city council's in the backside of the city. The city really needs to be in the forefront to make decisions. If Freedman's had been where the Target is, the Target, Freedman's, you could still have Dick's, and then BevMo was put in a different place in that shopping center, you would not have 18-wheel trucks barreling up and down McDowell, using that intersection, which really can't handle those types of trucks, and you would have traffic more contained, and traffic would not have been a problem having a skilled nursing facility there, and then you could have designed it with, I mean, I would have liked to have seen, you know, a minimum of 5 stories for housing. You could have built it, the housing on the road instead of toward the back. There was all kinds of ways of really developing it and making it a much better shopping center for the neighborhood. But instead, we have 18-wheelers destroying our roads, and traffic has gotten horrible. The noise level has really increased.
And that's another good point, because when we're back to the mitigations, when we're approving these projects, if we don't ask for significant impact fees, we're ending up hurting ourselves, because with all these trucks, it does do a lot of wear and tear on the road. And then we wonder, well, where's the money to fix the roads? Well, it's because we didn't charge enough for the development.
Well, besides that, citizens should not have to be asking for things for the developer and working in the background with the developer As one person sued, one person didn't sue.
Right.
And just to get crosswalks to go safely across Professional Drive and Rainier was because citizens did that, not
we
the developers. Because the developer didn't do that.
Thank you, Janice.
You're welcome. So I actually have a real affinity with what Adrian's doing.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it in the legal aspect and what is precarious for the city. And the city just doesn't have money for litigation. And that's not the way we should have to be thinking projects. But that's the way, that's what we've been handed, and that is a problem.
It is a big reality, and No Gas Here thinks that we've got some great things to help the city, because we realize that that is our main obstacle, is keeping the city from getting sued by Safeway.
Right.
And so we've been working with a fantastic lawyer and environmental consultants.
Oh, great.
And we are very keenly aware of that, but I'm also very keenly aware of if Safeway sues the city, if it's not Safeway suing the city because they get to put in their gas station, it's going to be people like me who need to sue the city for letting this go in, for being negligent and not rezoning that area when all those apartments went in. Another thing I wanted to point out about McDowell by the Freedmans is that neighborhood has the luxury of their backyards being to McDowell and having the big fences that were redone and put in. I believe you had something to
talk
with
that. Unfortunately, this is where I go back to the city really should have helped, because the city builds a beautiful fence for the ball fields on Washington Street, a very expensive fence. And we got a fence that was half the quality. And that's where the city really failed, because I wasn't experienced enough to look at a plan and really understand what the plan was saying. And so the city failed us in that. But yes,
but if you drive down McDowell South, all of those properties face McDowell. And they don't have circular driveways for the most part. They're just 1950s houses. This wasn't a busy street when they were built. And they face that. If you come by my house at some point, I've got my great rainbow fence. You'll find me. My plants are filthy. My plants are filthy. And I work in my yard. I love to garden. And so sometimes I'm out there watering, spraying things down. And it's disgusting how much just this film of dirt and whatever exhaust gets on my plants. And so people whose houses face that don't have the luxury of having a big, beautiful fence built.
For kids that have to breathe in.
Well, the one good thing about the planting is, I mean, some of those particulates are actually going into the plants.
But I'm one of the only ones, because I'm on a corner.
No, I know that.
I'm doing the most I can personally to mitigate. I've got a fountain in my front yard to keep the noise down. I've got my plants. I built the fence. I've been very proactive even before the gas station was going to be a thing.
I read that actually that's why they put ice plants on a lot of freeways, because they're supposed to be good at that.
Well, that might be true, except you really want height.
Yeah.
Not just get a lot of
oleanders.
I
wanted to say you've got a website so people can learn about your organization. You go to nogashere.org.
Or nogasaqui.org.
Okay, in Spanish. Good.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of significant, because there had been this EIR, and what we were just talking about before, it mentions the significant impacts, then it mentions how they were mitigated.
There was not a full EIR.
Yeah, well, I wanted to address that. Apparently, and you have this posted on your site, apparently the Sierra Club sent a letter to the council on September 4th, and it's kind of scathing, in fact. It says, "Dear City Council members, the Sonoma group of the Sierra Club stands with the residents of Petaluma who oppose putting a large 16-pump gas station across the street from residences, a daycare, a preschool, and an elementary school at Maria Drive and South McDowell. The environmental study submitted appears to be seriously flawed, and we believe the 2013 Bay Area Air Quality Management District permit no longer complies with current law. We ask the council to repeal the permit approval, or at least delay it until a formal EIR is developed and the Bay Area Air Quality Management District can review the validity of the permit issued in 2013 under current law. We think common sense dictates that putting a large 16-pump gas station filled with cancer-causing benzene and fumes from idling cars next to a school would be contrary to the public and community's interests. Here are several reasons why a large 16-pump gas station is a bad idea." And we've got some bullets here. It says, one, a large 16-pump gas station creates toxic gases that will affect the health of the elementary school students going to school across the street. young children are particularly susceptible to these toxic gases and contract asthma at higher rates than adults. A large 16-pump gas station creates additional traffic congestion near crosswalks students use to safely get to and from school. 3. The gas station's large underground gas storage tanks have the potential to leak and create a hazardous waste cleanup site that has a significant chance of leaking into the school grounds. Over 20 years, about a quarter of underground storage tanks leak, causing hazardous waste sites that lower property values, force school closings, and would make a valuable corner lot worthless. We've seen some of those, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Downtown real estate.
Mm-hmm, that Cotija restaurant not far from us.
Right.
No one wants to buy it. I actually looked into that property. It's like, oh, you'd have to pay to clean it up. I'm like, oh, forget it. The costs associated with cleaning up the toxic waste site, as well as closing and moving the schools, far outweigh the tax revenues projected by Safeway. So we're talking about what are the real economic benefits long term. According to this letter, they're not enough. And the final one they say is constructing additional gasoline infrastructure encourages creation of more smog, more spare the air days, and more greenhouse gases. I couldn't agree with this more, but that's their position.
We've got a lot of great support from groups like the Sierra Club, like 350.org, mm-hmm. North Bay Organizing Project. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people and organizations within the community that have looked this over on their own and fully agree and support us. They've been sending their letters to city council, and they're arranging to have people speak in the public comment time on Monday's city council meeting at 6:45. We're not the first thing on the agenda.
Wait, which Monday? This coming Monday. Okay.
Monday the 17th. We're going to try to be outside to discuss things with people at about 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. Give out more shirts. If you can't get a No Gas Here t-shirt, mm-hmm. limited edition, just wear red if you want to support our position, and come meet me, talk to me in person, talk to all of our other people. And like I said, we're not the first thing on the agenda. It seems silly with such a controversial mm-hmm. topic that you wouldn't have the night be just dedicated to that, because there's going to be a lot of people there who want to talk about it.
I looked at the agenda, too, and sometimes they will change the agenda around, but I looked at some of the topics, and I think this is my thought, is because John Brown is retiring, there are certain things that they want to make sure that get through. Some mm-hmm. of them are sewer mm-hmm. Issues, you know, close to Kresge. I mean, there's new sewer lines that they want to put in. So there are things that are kind of time-sensitive, and when you put, the gas station on there, we know that that's going to take a long time. It may even have to go into a second meeting.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it will.
But that's why I'm actually not sure if they're going to go ahead and shift it, because a lot of times they have shifted it in the past. But I think John's retiring might be a problem because mm-hmm. of that. That's just me thinking, because I looked at it.
Yeah.
And I understand you're not endorsing candidates.
We're not endorsing candidates. Some candidates for mayor and for city council have come out in support of
sure.
us.
Sure.
But I'm not going to name them, because that's not where we're not.
Yeah, and you have to be careful if you're planning to get 501c3 status
sure.
as a nonprofit. You can't have any political affiliation.
Well, and I think it makes sense too, because it's really a tricky issue, because you could be as a council member completely against this thing, but be in also a situation where, based on the law, arrive at a conclusion that makes it very difficult to say no. And that's going to be what we're grappling with, and I guess that's the main point of the Sierra Club letter, is that the EIR that says these things have been reduced to a less than significant level is flawed.
Mm-hmm. And so it's not a full EIR also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
An EIR costs a ton of money and a lot of time to do. And I have a feeling that even if the city council recommends that Safeway needs to do that, they are going to go after it, because they've already put a lot of time and money into this project, and I don't think they're just going to give it up.
Now, on the subject...
They say it's flawed. Who is saying it's flawed? What are their qualifications?
Right. I mean, who wrote the letter, and where is the background? Because you want to go to court. You
right.
better make sure
right.
that you have your ducks in
right.
a row, and that you have your experts. But I do want to bring up one thing about closed sessions.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is that when you're on a city council, you go into closed sessions. That's a whole new ball game than what you do in front of people. Mm-hmm. And so the council has information that you and I do not have. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing unfortunate is I think too much is done in closed session. It should be done in the forefront. And that is a problem. But we have to realize that council members definitely have different information than you and I have.
The basis for the flaw, I think, I mean, I'm not a member of the Sierra Club, and I don't know. Actually, I might be a member. I have to go check if I've renewed it. Whoops. But what it talks about is that, and I don't know who put this together, and I don't know how deeply they looked at the EIR, but what they're saying is that the Bay Area Air Quality Management District permit no longer complies with current law. So apparently this is coming under a 2013 Bay Area Air Quality Management District permit, and I guess something's changed since then.
It changed in 2018. Okay. We've been in talks with the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, BACMED.
Yeah, I was going to say BACMED, but I didn't think anyone was going to know.
It's BACMED. And they...
Speaking in acronyms.
They're already doing a lot of work that they normally do, so they're looking that over and getting us back some report from there looking over it. I personally have not been involved with the contact of them because I can only do so much. And other people involved with us are in contact with them. As far as who the other experts are, we have hired environmental consultants. Mm-hmm. I'm told she's basically the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of environmental consultants.
So do we have any leads?
No, Rose couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anyone on the city council right now that sits on BACMED?
I believe Teresa Barron has been for a long time.
Okay,
I've heard she's a big environmentalist.
She just went to the Global Climate Action Summit mm-hmm. in San Francisco. Yeah. She just posted some photos the other day on that, so she's very well aware of the issue. And actually, since you mentioned Teresa Barron, I'll also say the Sierra Club's a pretty reputable organization. They endorsed her, her candidacy. I don't believe Teresa's taken a position on this. As a council member, it's pretty difficult to do.
No, she's not taken a position. And we personally have not been going to sitting council members and talking with them because we're going to present all of our information to them as a group.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to deal with them one-on-one. They'll get to make their decision when they all have the information. Now, that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. A council member is paid...
health insurance.
And so a lot of them are working regular jobs and things and don't have backgrounds in environmental science. So when, like, this McDowell Elementary School was originally presented some studies, you read it and you go, oh, well, that seems legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get people with backgrounds in environmental science, we've got a local scientist friend. I'm not going to name her, but she works for the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looked through it and said, this is just terrible. How could they let this fly?
I mean, I was a...
They do all the time.
And, you know, I don't have a background in science. My husband's a high school science teacher. So even he has read through and said, their science is terrible. I would give them an F on how they put together their lab report.
Well, I'd like to talk about the Bay Area quality, air quality. I contact them quite often because... Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was sitting in my bedroom one day having coffee, reading my newspaper, and all of a sudden, I thought my house was on fire. And I got up and I went slowly into the kitchen with my phone, getting ready to call 911. There's a coffee company in Petaluma called Montana's Coffee and Tea Company, and they have these huge spouts, and I'm sure that you've smelled coffee smell down by your area. And it just permeates the east side.
It does. It's right by my office.
Yes, exactly.
It's obnoxious.
It's obnoxious, and the Bay Area air quality can't do anything about it. And the city allowed this to move forward without talking to any of the people that live, businesses or neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a problem. And I want to say this goes back to when a city has, when you're contacting your workout, they're there to make money. They're not there for the community.
Well, it's interesting.
And that's a problem.
It's interesting that you raise that because I was double major in environmental studies and politics when I was back at UCSC. And one of our tasks in my planning class related to CEQA. And we had to come up with recommendations to improve CEQA. And one thing I noticed at the time was that it didn't address odors. And actually, my professor said, good point. I don't know if that's changed at this point, but yeah, seriously, the coffee thing, it smells good at first sometimes, and then it gets to this burnt sort of smell.
It smells burnt, and then they have different types of coffee is what it is, and they have to heat them at a higher temperature,
right?
And then you get that burnt smell, but I've actually seen smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the intersection that you couldn't see through. I mean, you know, you could take a photo, and the smoke was in the photo. So, you know, that's pretty significant.
So, inadequate mitigation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to touch on, you talked about how the surrounding neighbors weren't well contacted. I want to say the city is required to contact people within, 500 feet?
And I can tell you why it's 500 feet, not 300 feet.
Well, why is that?
Why is that? Because myself and... Because... What happened?
Did you make it?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
You did it at the state level. Go ahead.
So, to give you an idea of what 500 feet is, I live kitty corner from where they want to put in the gas station. And according to Google Maps, I'm 200 feet away.
Right.
So, if I live across the street and I'm 200 feet, that means 500 feet... It's going to cover just a handful of houses, and it's ridiculous how many people don't know when something's happening.
Right, right. Well, there were three of us that went to Sacramento, and I think there was a lawsuit because of, oh, God, what was the issue? It might have been the voter fraud case in Petaluma. It was the largest. Petaluma had the largest voter fraud case in the state of California happened. And we ended up going to Sacramento, where we met with some, quote, bigwigs, we think. And what we got out of this was they would do noticing up to 500 feet instead of 300 feet. Mm. I mean, it was just crazy.
It should be a mile.
But it should be exactly
a mile.
I mean, 500 feet isn't even enough.
No.
Yeah. So this morning, I actually got a statement from our mayor on this subject, which I can read to you. And here's basically what he says. Said, this is another issue that no matter which way it goes, a significant number of people are not going to be happy with the outcome because there are many on each side of the divide. And he says, that much I can say about the matter. And you can use that quote on your program if you wish, because nothing in that quote indicates a closed mind to the situation at hand.
Oh, that's good. That worried me for a second.
He was also endorsed by the Sierra Club, by the way. So yeah. these are good environmentally minded people that are also looking at this issue, and they're in a tough position.
And I got to say, as far as recent issues go, I know a lot of people are really, really up in arms about bathtub art on Water Street.
And find balance, please.
This is a lot more important than what some people consider unattractive art.
Yeah.
I wish those people were just as passionate about this one way or another.
Yeah. And I agree with you, because I wish more people were passionate about transportation in this town, realizing that the smart rail crossings are not adequate and they were built, and making sure that people actually have a safer way to move mobility in this town. I totally agree. We seem to be splintered in all different directions. And what I find is, whenever I get involved in an issue, people say, oh, she's this and she's that. Well, you know what? It's darn not true. I'm an activist because I care about really what Adrian is dealing with. I understand.
Unfortunately, the answer is kind of simple for a lot of people as far as why they're not paying attention to this and they're paying attention to the art thing. It's not right in their backyard like this is.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's unfortunate. I mean, I live so far away relatively from Schoenberger and the Dutra plant, but I was very involved in opposing that project. It didn't affect me personally and directly, except for when I want to use the park. But I thought in general it was bad for Petaluma.
Exactly.
I didn't think it was good to have on our gateway. I still don't.
Yeah, that's another show.
But some people...
But it is. It's not a community. My point is some people...
Anybody can be an activist.
Yeah, and some people are activists only when it affects them immediately.
Exactly. And I've been called a NIMBY and a snowflake and all sorts of trolls on the internet come out late at night and they call me horrible things.
And where do they live?
You know, I don't know, but they don't show their faces. They wouldn't say it to me
in common.
They wouldn't say it to me to my face, I'm sure. But you know what? If I'm a NIMBY, I don't want it in anybody else's backyard either.
Yeah.
I just happen to be aware of this because it was close to me.
Sure.
And one of the reasons that I want to move on to being a nonprofit organization is so that we can put a groundwork in for other communities and other gas stations to not go in close to vulnerable sites.
But it does raise the question, if their kids were in those schools, would they be more concerned?
Probably, because like I said, we've got the backing of the PTA now, and those people are horrified. Now, a statistic I'm going to give you about McDowell Elementary School, there's 255 kids there, and 97% of them are on free and reduced price lunches. So that's a really low-income school. I've got those numbers from Principal Lori Anderson.
So we're sticking it to the poor.
We're sticking it to the poor. This would not be happening on the west side. That's just how I feel
about
it.
Well, there's no room to put one on the west side, probably.
Yeah, that's one of the big arguments.
Empty gas station
there's
lots.
A couple of empty gas stations.
You can't put 16 pumps there, though.
Chevron station.
And no one has the money to clean them up.
Exactly. Clean them up to make them
pretty. Probably makes a super fun need to get in.
How about that as a mitigation? Safeway, you want to put this 16-pump mega gas station in? Clean up these empty ones that we've got.
Well, that's unfair, Jason. That's unfair.
It was halfway a joke. But, I mean, ultimately, we have to live with this stuff as a community. And if we're approving one and we still got these other issues, it's not they're totally disconnected.
No, Safeway said they've done something like 61 different mitigations, which to me says a lot of people are unhappy about it, and Safeway's trying to basically throw money at it to make the problem go away, saying, look, we have beautiful landscaping. Look, there's going to be this convenience mart that'll help block the emissions. I don't know where the science behind that is, but that's what I was told by one of the Safeway representatives.
Interesting.
When she met with me at my home. And
I think the positive thing would be a transit site, but I feel like the city should put a transit site there, period, because it needs a transit site. I've been there. I've seen how parents, they park on Maria Drive. The circulation around that school needs to be improved. The school needs to get involved in that. People should not be parking on Maria Drive, taking their kids out and walking them in the back way. They need to go into the parking lot of the school. Buses should not be on a city street as a transit site. So the city, they built all these new apartments, and then they don't add a transit site into it. And one is definitely needed. I mean, I have I was down there one day, and I've been going down there and checking this out. And, there's a guy with a boat, and he's parked on the right-hand side going east. And then then there were three buses on the street going west, just parked until they take off. That is not acceptable that we don't have a transit site on the east side. And that is something that I want to see the city starting to look at, where the best place is, how they're going to build this. Whatever happens with this station, I want these mitigations anyway. I want the sidewalks fixed. I want to make sure in that shopping center that people actually have sidewalks to walk into the center so it's safe. I want to make sure that there is a transit site. And these are the kind of things that I think we can work on together.
Absolutely.
Because it's really important, and it's not just in your neighborhood. Like Adrienne and I, we drove around to show her the bigger picture, and she gets it, because when you're faced with walking on the streets, it makes things clear. But I think getting the school to work with getting parents to be able to use the parking space, going in and out and using one way in and one way out instead of using city streets is a benefit, because it's a safety issue. And everybody has to take some responsibility that there's changes that need to be made. How are those changes going to be made with or without this station?
I absolutely agree with you on that. And it is interesting driving around with you. I used to think a Rainier overpass, like, that makes sense. Why wouldn't we put that in? But then you look more closely at it and you see what impact it's going to have on the landscape there, how much money it's going to cost, what the design is like, and then you rethink things the same way. I'm hoping not to plug the gas station issue one more time, but you look at it a little more closely when something on paper sounds good and then it's not quite right. And maybe we should work with what we've got already with the Corona and with Caulfield and making those better for bicyclists, for pedestrians to drive through.
Well, they would also be potentially much cheaper.
So
you get more bang for your buck. So to me with Rainier, it's like, what's the goal? If the main goal is traffic mitigation, what is the best bang for the buck in traffic mitigation? Is that the best crosstown connector location? Does that make the most sense? We already know that it would be difficult to get an interchange there. We'd have to get... Well, we can apply. And what I heard the dirty little secret is, and if the viewers, or excuse me, the viewers, the listeners don't know what I'm talking about, you can't build interchanges less than a mile away from another interchange. It's a safety issue. You have to have an exemption to do that. So the whole concept of having an interchange where you could get on and off of the freeway from Rainier can't happen without that exemption. But some people don't know that. They assume that this thing is going to include the connector. That's why it's been split, actually, into two projects.
That's true, but there's also other problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the quarter mile or the space.
Right, but let me finish what I was going to get at. What I've heard from inside discussions, and I'm not telling you where I heard it from, but apparently the dirty little secret was, let's approve as much stuff as we can so that we have a pile up onto 101 so that we can get that exemption.
No, that's exactly what they want to do.
So we're the guinea pigs.
Now, Janice, question that you might be able to answer, would they be able to put on-ramp, off-ramps at Corona?
Well, unfortunately, no, because back in the 90s, back in the 90s, the city manager at the time gave away the right-of-ways. The on and off ramp right of ways.
That would have been great.
Council Ford has one of them.
It would have been great.
And so it
there.
Could have been there. Is it a perfect solution? No, but it circles the city as we went and took the circle around on Sonoma Mountain Parkway, Petaluma Boulevard, and our.
Oh. But maybe there's a blessing in disguise, and Roy's hot dogs won't get overcrowded, and I can go and get my hot dog. And my special
sauce. That is an example of a crossing that could be improved.
Well, it needs to be improved because it was built in 1954. The railings, when you're walking, you can't walk there safely because you'll just tip over onto the freeway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have dividers so bikes can't get. So it's an issue. But thank you.
We're a little off topic. And also, we have about 45 seconds left.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to let everybody know you've been listening to KCALP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM on the dial. This show is Inside Petaluma, and myself, Cindy Thomas, Jason Davies, and Janice Cater-Thompson are here for you every Friday from 11 to noon. And thank you, Adrian, for being on the show with us today.
Yes.
Everybody, if you want to go to the city council meeting on Monday and weigh in on this, you certainly can. But if you can't, watch it on PCA, Comcast, channel number 28, or AT&T channel 99, and sorry, DirecTV and satellites, you're going to have to go see it in person.
It also streams on their website.
Yes.
Okay, we should also plug, Safeway does have a website.
Okay.
Period.
So, all right, everybody, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
We should have just said that only because...
LP, Petaluma, California.
Hey, I'm Nanners.
And I'm Boo.
We host the Nanners and Boo Show.
We talk about activities for kids in Petaluma.
Yeah, like boating on the Petaluma River and seeing stars at the RF Lone Observatory.
We also talk homemade pharmacies and from the science behind it.
You can catch our show at 2:30 every Sunday.